You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
It is Wednesday, June 28th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Affordable Care Act repeal and replace jailbreak. As I think over a half a dozen Republican senators now say they can't support the bill as is, but careful of Republican Plan B. And, in fact, watch out for Plan C. Meanwhile, GOP bemoans the fact that their president is an idiot. And it's not just climate change. The EPA now pro-poisoning babies. What's the Democratic agenda going to be? Warren calls for single-payer embrace. And we'll also talk about that retroactive capital gains tax giveaway that is posing as a healthcare reform bill. Meanwhile, Muslim travel ban and extended imprisonment of undocumented immigrants heading to the Gorsuch court. Sarah Palin sues the New York Times claiming she only got 14 minutes. And finally, Republican congressional body slams lapped up by Republican voters. All that and more on today's program. Thank you, folks, for indulging our late start today. It is, of course, the day when many preschoolers matriculate and go further into preschool. And apparently that is got to be a big deal. My son has adopted an alter ego called Laser Boy and was wearing his Laser Boy costume today. I should just say, in his defense, everybody in his class has a superhero, too, so it's not just something he's doing on his own.
In his defense.
Well, I don't want to make it sound like he's showing up to events dressed up and nobody else is. Which is not necessarily a problem.
What were some of the other costumes?
We didn't fix that thing, did we?
Is this still a problem?
Yep. It's just a little bit scratchy.
When I was in kindergarten, I liked to wear my mom's leather gloves. I remember doing it in class. Of course, they were gigantic, and they told me to stop, but I didn't.
That sounds like a bad school. They should allow the kids to
wear gigantic
their
leather gloves.
I mean, just at that age, yes. All right, well, let's jump right in here. There are really two scenarios going forward. Well, really, I guess three. Scenario one in terms of this healthcare is they reconvene after the July 4th recess and nothing happens. Well, actually, this is really only two scenarios. I thought there was three, but the first scenario would actually require some type of mass event that ends all humanity. And that's not likely to happen, at least not until fall.
You never know.
So there's two major scenarios that we're looking at here. One is that they return from July 4th recess, and we see a replay of what we saw with healthcare so-called reform, this massive tax cut disguised as healthcare reform, in the House. Sarah Cliff has a good timeline of this from Vox. It was on March 24th that Paul Ryan announced in front of reporters at a press conference back when we used to do these things in public that Obamacare is the law of the land. We're going to be living with Obamacare for the foreseeable future. That's when we all celebrated. It was dead, the repeal and replace. On May 4th, 6 weeks later, 45 days later, the House had passed the so-called American Health Care Act. This is the, you'll recall, there was a celebration where Donald Trump was in the Rose Garden with a bunch of white guys behind him. And they were all celebrating and high-fiving each other for a bill that, and we'll get to this, that Donald Trump clearly has no idea what it is. Just to the point where his own allies can't help but mention it. So Sarah Cliff came up with three lessons that she learned from the fact that that came back. And they are they sort of mirror what my perspective is, which is first that Republican legislators are really motivated to deliver on the big picture goal of Obamacare repeal, even if it doesn't tackle the issues they purport to have with the health care law. In other words, and we talked about this, the attacks on the Affordable Care Act, even from the Republicans, came from the left. Premiums are too high. Healthcare is not generous enough, particularly Donald Trump's. Nothing in the American Health Care Act, or whatever they're calling it in the Senate, addresses the expense of premiums or the scope of coverage for people. Premiums are, in fact, in some instances, less for people, but not if they purchase the same amount of health insurance. The only thing is, it just allows you to buy something that is nominally health insurance, but actually provides you no benefits. That, of course, can be delivered cheaper. So none of the things that they were interested in were addressed by the Better Care and Reconciliation Act in the Senate. But their voters still want Obamacare to be repealed because they were promised it for 7 years. There were 50-some-odd votes. In fact, everybody, including Dean Heller on the Republican side, who says this is problematic, voted for a bill as bad as this one, if not worse, in 2015. Remember that. Dean Heller was for this before he was against it. In 2015, the House and the Senate both passed a repeal and replace of Obamacare. It just so happens they knew President Obama would not sign it. So they were for this before they were against it. The second point is Republican lawmakers are not deterred by a lack of outside validators. In other words, it doesn't matter what the AMA says. It doesn't matter what the hospitals say. None of it matters. In fact, there's no amount of money that they can get from the insurance industry or from any of the players that is going to rival the amount of money they can get from the Koch brothers and their network. And they certainly don't care. You'll recall in the House, they passed a bill that had 17% approval rating. Third, she writes, coming around to this point of view takes time. Took the Republicans in the House a month and a half to wrap their minds around the piece of legislation, make some changes, and decide to pass it. I would say that in that instance, the big thing was, what do we need for cover? In the House, it ended up being, we need more generous subsidies. And so they ended up throwing $8 billion at it, and it was just a story that they could cite. And they all voted for it. In this instance, it's going to be opioids. It's going to be rural hospitals in Maine. I mean, we can go down the line. There'll be opioids in West Virginia and Ohio. Maybe some rural hospitals in those places, too. Rural hospitals in Maine. You'll end up seeing an expansion of health savings accounts. And perhaps, maybe, I don't know, kicking babies will bring Ted Cruz along. Something particularly cruel that he can go back and praise. So that's going to be scenario one. They're going to come back. They're going to try and pass it that way. It may be at the end of July, maybe mid-July. They've got to do it relatively quickly because the problem they have is that this Better Care and Reconciliation Act is really essentially, you got to think of it as the 2017 budget resolution. And the problem is they have the 2018 budget resolution, and because of rules that are too arcane for me, really, frankly, to understand, they are starting to bump up against each other in the calendar. So Mitch McConnell has to deal with this in the month of July. So this is a very important time. If you live in one of those states, you have got to essentially get up in the grill, metaphorically speaking, of your senators and make it clear that the problem is not just not enough opioid treatment. The problem is not just rural hospitals. It is the degradation of the quality of health insurance. It is the loss of health insurance for millions of Americans, just as unacceptable if it's 15 million as it would be if it's 22 million. On and on. There is, however, a plan C for Republicans. And Ed Kilgore at New York Magazine talks about this. And that is, if you contemplate what the Better Care and Reconciliation Act is, if you take out the subsidies, if you look at the private exchanges, right, we know that the Affordable Care Act has three major components. Expansion of Medicaid, a patient protection bill of rights, essentially, and exchanges and subsidies in those exchanges if you're from 133% of poverty to 400% of poverty. The ones that implicate the budget, broadly speaking, are just the expansion of Medicaid. Obviously, the subsidies do too. And you can argue, as they have in this, that relaxing rules on insurance will save the government money in some fashion. I mean, I guess that's the way they're getting around the Byrd rule. But you could roll the cuts to Medicaid into the 2018 budget resolution. Because remember, all they care about at the end of the day is saying we got rid of Obamacare and getting the tax cuts. In fact, the tax cuts are probably even more prominent. So they could drop this hot potato, say we're going to work with Democrats to shore up the exchanges. No longer just have 51 votes, right? You need You just need a majority if the Democrats agree not to filibuster. Maybe you need 60. We're going to shore up the exchanges. We're going to keep the patient protection of rights. We're going to call it Trump Care. We're going to call it the Better Care Act. So we've repealed Obamacare, more or less. Then in the budget reconciliation, the Budget Resolution Act of 2018, which is a reconciliation bill, you're going to slash Medicaid. Maybe you'll slash Medicare a little bit too. And you'll get the vast majority of the bulk of those savings that will allow you to provide the permanent tax cuts that you want. That's the thing also that we have to worry about on some level, because frankly, Medicaid, from their perspective, is the easiest thing for them to vote to cut because they don't think any of those people vote for them anyways. And there was an interesting tweet thread that I saw. I don't have the guy in front of me, actually, but we'll put a link to it in today's show post. Apparently, part of the ACA involved the equivalent of the motor voter bill, where if you signed up for the exchanges, you were automatically registered to vote. And in 2014, the Obama administration essentially jettisoned that aspect of it via the Health and Human Services because they were there was anger by Republicans on it.
Am I still really bad? But so they undermined the motor voter law as part of ACA?
It wasn't the motor voter law, but there was a motor voter equivalent if you signed up via the exchanges. That was built into it, and they reversed it.
So they own gold themselves there.
That is, I think, what you would call an own goal. It was funny to watch some people going, like, oh, it's Obama's fault. Well, no. I mean, the fact that it was not instituted was Obama's fault, and the fact that those, I don't know, couple of million voters who are getting direct benefits from the government don't maybe weren't registered to vote, that seems like an own goal.
And well, and Reverend Barber was saying more broadly, like the assaults on voting rights generally are connected to this.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, I looked at the analysis and overall benefited too many white people.
So, exactly.
To hell with it.
Reverend Barber.
So
that's incredible.
The tax cuts and Medicaid cuts can be rolled over into the next bill, the 2018 budget resolution, if they want to. Basically, what it is it more or less looks like a Ryan budget. So that's going to be the next fight, assuming the healthcare one goes down. And I don't know. It's all part of a long-term plan by Republicans to basically, you know, this is just think of Paul Ryan as a 17-year-old or a college kid, maybe in high school during the Reagan Revolution, as it were, and just frothing at the mouth about the idea of permanent tax cuts and cutting Medicaid, cutting Medicare. If they could get their hands on Social Security, they would do that as well. So that's going to be the next fight. At this point, Trump giveth and taketh away because the Republicans, I think they've realized that he's an idiot, but they're really, really impressed with how idiotic he is. Donald Trump apparently was freelancing when he had his allied pack run ads against Dean Heller in Nevada. Dean Heller is the most vulnerable Senate Republican. I haven't heard anybody make this argument, but I'm not convinced that there might not be some in the White House who are starting to realize, like, hey, wait a second. We're getting used to provide cover for some really unpopular legislation. Maybe it would be a good thing if the Republicans didn't have control of the Senate. Because there's really not a lot of argument as to we're going to throw all our weight against the weakest person in the Republican Senate caucus. Look, they have two votes to waste. Those are the ones that you give to the people who need to be protected. Dean Heller would be that guy. They, of course, want him to vote for it. And if he was to vote for it, that would bring everybody else along. But the weakest in the herd doesn't always work, particularly if you don't coordinate that with the guy who's trying to wrangle the herd. In this case, it's Mitch McConnell.
Got it. Attack Dean.
So they all head over to the White House yesterday. And the way the media was sold this is that Donald Trump is a closer. This is what he's all about. They call him the closer.
Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, bring me in. It's time for me to come in from the...
bring me out from the bullpen.
From the bullpen.
I got it.
So...
you want me to bean the first baseman again?
Republicans were saying, we're going over to the White House for a good old shellacking. On the way there, Mr. McConnell, who kept the president at a polite arm's length while he oversaw negotiations of the bill, asked Mr. Trump to arrange the meeting with all 52 Republican senators during a morning phone call, in part to show senators the White House was fully engaged. This is from the New York Times. It's according to people with knowledge of the call. When asked by reporters clustered on the blacktop outside the West Wing if Mr. Trump had command of the details of the negotiations, Mr. McConnell ignored the question and smiled blandly. Mr. Trump is fond of telling friends he is a quote-unquote closer and became more involved over the past few days, reaching out to a few reluctant conservatives like Senators Mike Lee of Utah and Lion Ted Cruz of Texas, Rand Paul of Kentucky. Over the weekend, Mr. McConnell made clear his unhappiness to the White House after a super PAC aligned with Mr. Trump started a campaign against Senator Dean Heller. So everybody walks over to the White House getting ready to get a speech that is both a carrot and a stick. It's going over to the Gipper, going over to the... He's going to fire us up, but also keep us in line. And this is how strong Donald Trump was when he came out yesterday.
We're going to talk, and we're going to see what we can do. We're getting very close. But for the country, we have to have health care. And it can't be Obamacare, which is melting down. The other side is saying all sorts of things before they even knew what the bill was. This will be great if we get it done. And if we don't get it done, it's just going to be something that we're not going to like. And that's okay. And I understand that very well.
What?
He still intuits that, you know, it's unpopular.
It's like, if we don't get it, what are you going to do? So I hope I put the fear of God into everybody.
But don't you think that's his sense of self? Like, the agreement between them on some level that, like, we'll cover for you and your criminal enterprise and you sign our social Darwinist agenda. And he's with it. But at some level, he still kind of is like, 16% approval rating. Ooh, that doesn't look great.
Like, I mean,
you know, he must have not any moral concern, but a public... He understands some popular...
I think he's just a little bit confused because according to the reporting I've seen, listen to the end of this piece in the New York Times. Till Tuesday's meeting with the White House, Mr. Trump had spoken with only a few members of the Senate, according to an administration official. The pace was nothing like the dozens of calls he made to help pass the House health bill. I think he's just getting
I'm so tired.
A senator who supports the bill left the meeting at the White House with a sense that the president did not have a grasp of some of the basic elements of the Senate plan.
Oh, my God.
Slander. And it seemed especially confused when a moderate Republican complained that opponents of the bill would cast it as a massive tax break for the wealthy. This is according to an aide who received a detailed readout of the exchange. Now, understand. Not only is this a massive tax cut for the wealthy, there is a retroactive capital gains tax cut in this. Let me explain to you what that means. The capital gains tax is a tax that favors wealth over labor. If you work for $10, your tax rate will be higher on that $10 than it would be if you made that $10 in the stock market, or if you sold your house, or if you sold a building, or if you took shares out of your company. The idea behind that, which I think is dubious at best, is that, well, we're going to encourage wealthy people to invest because their returns are going to be so much higher because they're not going to have to pay that tax. And that's going to trickle down and they'll be like gold will fall upon us. It will like rain on us. It'd be like a shower of gold on you. And...
Really?
Yes. So the idea that you would do retroactive, that you give people tax cuts on money that they've already paid taxes on early in the year, that money they've already invested, when this is supposed to be something to encourage you to invest in the future, is absurd.
Insulting.
It's somewhat insulting. Apparently, Donald Trump was not aware. I had no idea. Mr. Trump said he planned to tackle tax reform later, ignoring the repealed tax implications, the staff member added. In other words, when the guy said, people are going to think this is a tax cut because it's a huge tax cut. And he said, you just said tax cut. I'm going to do tax cut later. At the end, he tweeted out, I just finished a great meeting with the Republican senators concerning health care. He wrote, they really want to get it right, unlike O-Care, presumably Obamacare.
It's amazing to me every time I watch that, the last clip that we played, it sounds dumber. And it sounded really dumb the first time. It's been about like 5 or 6 times I watched it now.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. The guy doesn't know what's going on.
Why isn't there some sort of tax breaks for, I don't know, I'm just spitballing here, Russian loans from illicit criminal organizations? It seems like
we'll deal with that during the tax thing. I am confused.
That'll be part of the tax thing.
Healthcare, tax care, healthcare. I'm confused.
Well, otherwise, they won't invest here.
What about money laundered by a guy named Felix Sater? There could be a tax cut for that.
So the Republicans are starting to realize, like, wow, he's really, really stupid. And that said, he might be also just freelancing a little bit. And folks like Susan Collins are starting to wonder, like, whoa, are we going to have any cover for this? I mean, what's going on? Here is Susan Collins, I guess, politely expressing that.
What is the big picture, though, about why the president's struggling on corralling Republicans? It just seems like he doesn't have the political capital that most presidents do to kind of get the party in line.
This president is the first president in our history who has had neither political nor military experience. And thus, it has been a challenge to him to learn how to interact with Congress and how to push his agenda forward.
It's been a challenge to learn how to interact with anyone for this guy.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
Interacting, isn't that what lawyers are for?
I don't get it. I said to do it. What's the problem? Just get it done. So that's what's happening in terms of healthcare. We're not going to know more, but you should not stop pushing your representatives. And I will tell you this, here is a perfect example of just how little. I mean, it's one thing for Susan Collins to say, well, Donald Trump is the first president who has absolutely no experience and has no idea how to deal with us, doesn't know what we're thinking, doesn't know what our concerns are, really can't, I guess, make a deal with us. But I think some people might be surprised to understand just how little even your congressperson understands about the process. Here is Chris Hayes on All In finding out that there are congresspeople out there who really have no sense of the legislative process. Remember, you go to a conference committee when the Senate bill is substantially different from the House bill, and you need to reconcile those so that you have the House and the Senate on the same page so that when the bill goes back to them, they pass it. But if the Senate comes up with a bill that was initiated by the House, but the Senate comes up with a bill and sends it back to the House and it's close enough to the House bill that they all vote for it, they can vote for it. You don't have to go to conference committee. That seems to be something that is a fairly rudimentary thing to know if you are, say, in either the Senate or the House, right? I mean, it's like,
I don't know.
It's part of the extended version of I'm Just the Bill, that cartoon. But here is Chris Hayes with Representative Francis Rooney of Florida, who may want to maybe see if there's a civics annex class he can take down there.
The funniest part about this is that they're going to make you vote on the Senate bill. You realize that, right? They're going to bring that thing over and they're going to jam it down the House caucus's throat. And this process is then going to be your process because you and the House are going to have to own it.
Well, I don't know. Isn't there something called a compromise committee or something when two different bills are different? That
yes,
they come
the
together
conference committee. They're going to bypass it.
Pause it.
Make
hold on for
you,
one
sir.
Second. I want you to go back. First off, Hayes gets extra points for saying they're going to jam it down your throat. But the idea that, A, Rooney doesn't know that you can bypass the conference committee, and B, what the name of it is, like a compromise committee. Isn't there some place where you go and everybody gets cotton candy and then maybe you get to stay over and play in the bouncy castle for a while and then everything
oh, yeah,
goes
Francis,
fine?
That's cotton candy land. It's great.
Play this again.
This is then going to be your process because you and the House are going to have to own it.
Well, I don't know. Isn't there something called a compromise committee or something when two different bills are different? That
yes,
they come
the
together
conference committee. They're going to bypass it and they're going to make you, sir. They're going to make you vote for this thing.
Oh, I didn't know about that. I'll check into that. I don't do well with people trying to make me do anything, let me assure you.
Yeah, or learn stuff like civics. That's pretty impressive. Oh, you just pointed out I'm completely ignorant. Let me just add, I'm also hugely arrogant. Is that Jimmy Dore's congressman? I'm just asking. Oh, no, he's in California. Okay.
Oh, yeah, take an opportunity to insult Jimmy Dore for speaking the truth. Establishment shill. By the way, we wouldn't have this if Obama had not intentionally signed a voting waiver, which my wife encouraged him to sign, all to benefit the big banks.
All right, one last story before we go. I should say, you know, the good news is...
Can I just make one tiny point about that?
What's that?
I like that it wasn't just that he was arrogant. It's that their standard pivot is, it's like a macho thing.
Oh,
it's like,
totally.
Well, I'll tell you this. Oh. I may not have any idea what I'm talking about, be completely incompetent for my job, but I don't really do too well with people telling me the basic mechanics of what I'm here to do. And then Chris is in peak, like, that's perfect for Chris because it's 50-50, like, nerdgasm and also, like, this is a great TV moment because this guy's a total moron.
Oh, I mean, I imagine if he had gone another minute, he would have been like, you know, I have a permit. Carry concealed weapon. So I'm not too worried about compromise committee.
Think I'll do okay in the compromise committee.
Yeah, that's all right. I don't do too well.
That's a new safe space, the compromise committee.
I don't do too well. I mean, you know, what else is amazing too is like, it's clear like, wait a second, you're saying the thing that I voted on may end up being, I thought the Senate was going to rein us in.
One of the little Jews on my staff gave me a Vox explainer saying it didn't look good. What the hell's going on?
Compromise committee. Isn't there some type of like feel good committee or something like that? It's all going to be okay. Committee?
Isn't there? Yeah, it's the give rich people money, but also don't do an unpopular healthcare committee. That's the committee I was talking about. Paul says it doesn't exist.
Since we're on we'll do one more clip. Since we're on the Trump administration, Yes, this is around the Trump administration, and also the Republicans in Congress don't know much about nothing. Here is Senator Al Franken, and you can go back and check out our interview with Senator Franken from, I guess, a week and a half ago, where I held him to a cord for his compliments of me in the past. Al Franken asking Rick Perry at the Energy Natural Resources Committee hearing last Thursday on this whole climate change stuff. You'll recall Rick Perry went on that show on CNBC. I can't remember with that guy who's been there for 25.
Squawk Box.
Squawk Box. And reiterated what the head of the EPA said, which was more or less, it was sort of hard to follow a little bit what they were saying, that there's climate change, but it may not be man-made, but if it is, it isn't. Here's Rick Perry.
Don't you think it's okay to have this conversation about, the science of climate change? And why don't we have a red team approach and sit down, you know, get the politicians out of the room and let the scientists and listen to what they have to say about it. I'm pretty comfortable that, what's wrong with being a skeptic, I think, is about something that we're talking about that's going to have a massive impact on the American economy.
Well, you said this thing about, you told Senator Coons that we need a red team, blue team exercise to establish climate change. It's my understanding that in a red team, blue team exercise, the blue team makes an argument, then a red team tries to knock it down. And the blue team then refines their argument, and they go back and forth until consensus is reached. But that's exactly how science works, including climate science. And you're not the first to do red team, blue team. The Koch brothers hired a red team of skeptics in 2012 in an effort to cast doubt on mainstream science. It was called the BEST Project, and much to the chagrin of their funders, the skeptical scientists found that mainstream climate science is correct. To quote the scientific director of BEST, Dr. Richard Muller, "Call me a converted skeptic." It was in 2013 or 14. "Last year, following an intensive research effort involving a dozen scientists, I concluded that global warming was real and that the prior estimates of the rate of warming were correct. And I'm now going a step further. Humans are entirely the cause." Now, if you say that this is caused by the warming of the oceans, the reason the oceans are warming is because they absorb, water absorb the heat. That's why sea level is rising, because when the water heats, it expands, and also because of the melting of the ice caps. There's no peer-reviewed study that doesn't say this is happening. And the biggest proponent of this is our military. In their quadrennial review, say this is the biggest threat to our world. The time for red team, I'm sorry, that's what we do every day. That's what scientists do every day. And 100% of peer-reviewed scientists have a consensus, and that is that this is happening.
I liked you on Saturday Night Live. I don't know what you say about that other than owned.
We're
right?
All going to die.
All going to die.
And also, this really isn't about ignorance. It's about moneyed and private interests.
Yeah.
Right.
Forcing these people to be this ignorant.
Well, right. I will say, in Rick Perry's defense, that his inability to even articulate the talking points that he was clearly given by his buddies in the oil industry, like even just remember it. I mean, remember what he said on CNBC was like, well, I don't know, the oceans are warming.
He was trying to do other the stuff. New York Times column by that hack that they just hired, which is the new kind of pseudo-intellectual.
If you're going to get paid to go on and lie about this stuff, at least do us the courtesy of memorizing the lie. So it doesn't come off like you're a child.
Well, look, here is rude to a guy who struggles with
story
like
in the
that.
New York Times yesterday. Carbon in the atmosphere is rising even as emissions stabilize. And the theory is, even though the amount of CO2 gas that people are putting out has stopped rising, the amount that stays up in the air is going up faster than it ever has. And the theory, they don't know for sure, is that the natural sponges, that being the ocean and probably land and trees, were absorbing a certain amount of the CO2. There is a theory now that maybe what has happened is that they are saturated. That they can't absorb anymore. Maybe that the systems have weakened. And that means essentially that the rate in which CO2 increases in the atmosphere is going up, and that means essentially that we have less time than we had thought. So, but, you know, let's do another red team, blue team exercise.
Well, that's the point with Brett Stevens where he says they might be overestimating these estimates. Well, they might be underestimating it as well, how bad this is going to be.
Well, it's the equivalent of the disgusting Megan McArdle piece about, like, well, if you put sprinklers in, I mean, it's like it's you speed to work. It's all these, like, thought experiments, actually. They use the same term to get us away from taking action. But I don't know. I mean, how? I guess it's useful in for anybody who's fair-minded in public to see something like that, Rick Perry just getting humiliated, but it doesn't seem to have any effect on the policy process.
No.
And obviously no effect on the companies that pay for this policy.
No, none. All right, we got to take a break.
Well,
I mean, honestly,
note.
I mean, that's part of the problem. Like, I honestly, I don't know where you go from there. I understand there's probably a lot of people out there feeling good about the green energy plan that that different people have. But
that's like the honing beacon.
The way you deal with this is you elect people who are at the very least going to acknowledge the plan, I mean the problem, so that you're one step closer to attempting to implement some type of solution.
Al Franken endorsed my wife, who in addition to being a serial killer was the greatest promoter of fracking in human history. And so, okay, yeah, humiliate Rick Perry. Great. Look, Al Franken doesn't care about you. He hates you almost as much as Kamala Harris does. She doesn't give a fuck. And I'm so goddamn sick of corporate Democrats. I voted for the candidate with the Green New Deal. So I feel good about myself. At a certain point, you got to have integrity.
646-257-3920. 646-257-3920 is the number. Folks, you can support this program by supporting this program by becoming a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. Jointhemajorityreport.com keeps us free. I mean, when all those corporate sponsors come by and all those bigwigs and all the Warren Buffett or who's the... who's the
Soros?
When Soros comes by,
act like you forgot his name.
Yeah, exactly. When Soros comes by, I'm just like, "Who are you, Warren Buffett?" And then he gets offended, and he's just like, "I'm out of here."
Why do you always confuse me with Warren Buffett? I'm leaving.
Is he French?
No, he was Hungarian. I have no idea.
Okay,
what do Hungarians even sound like?
They just sound like guys from Massachusetts.
Exactly. Wait, no, but he's
Gorka's
like British.
Gorka's got
he's
a fake British.
British
accent.
He's got a fake British accent.
Maybe so when Soros...
I really am a very sad man. I am Sebastian Gorka's. I sound like Borat, who has just had operation.
So Soros comes in. I'm like, "You're Warren Buffett?" And he's like, "No." And I mean, "Oh, Borat." And no. And I'm like, "Hey, buddy, just... shuffle on down the hall because we have members." members who signed up at jointhemajorityreport.com. So go down the hall.
To the commissary.
To the commissary.
Oh, shit. Why didn't you say that in mic?
Get yourself a yogurt. On us.
That was funny.
All right, folks. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY to get 10% off. And if you buy any crap from Amazon or Jet.com, do so through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. 646-257-3920 is the number. 646-257-3920. And we'll take your IMs in the fun half.
Oh, real quick.
Oh.
If you haven't looked at the blog post, look at today's blog post if it's not a regular part of your media habit.
Oh, yeah.
There's
somebody
a pretty incredible...
Did you
listener,
credit
Jeremiah? Yeah, I didn't want to give the full name because I don't know if people want their full names out there, but Jeremiah is his first name. Did
and suit that he has
email me. Us if you want. If you want your full name, email us. But
tell me what that listener, suit is, too, because I don't. I feel like I've never looked so good in a suit.
I believe that.
I know that's true.
But
I,
so no, it's
really
it's an incredible.
Oh, let me also say one more thing too. So
no, just real
to
quick, it's a poster. It's a movie
poster.
Yeah, it's a movie poster. It's a movie poster for basically, really, it reveals our connections to the Seth Rich murder, Sam's specific role in it, and also Bill Clinton in a Panama hat trying to reveal the truth about his wife's. It's.
I just don't like how Sam's holding a gun. I like the poster a lot.
What's wrong with how he's holding a gun?
Well, I just don't want Sam to hold a gun.
Oh, yeah, Sam definitely holds
so
guns in this
scenario. That's not me, right? That's somebody else?
The body is not you. But the best part is in top, I say, Sam, don't forget to take the wallet. And then there's this incredible screenshot of you. And you go, Michael, I'm going to leave the wallet. Do you see? It's three-dimensional chess. And Clinton, and the great thing about Bill is that it's like the scene in the movie where you think that he's like the prime villain and you go to the house to confront him and then he gives you the secret intel in his Panama hat. He's like, I've been forced to do this all these years. My wife's behind all of it. And then the all-seeing eyes of Hillary at the top. You see the all?
I still can't get over the suit. Is that like a Bond?
Yeah, it's Bond.
Damn it.
And it's like, and it's also like one of those, like, you were like, I'm retiring. I want to talk about Medicare. And they're just like, we got one more mission for you. Yeah. Every time I think I'm out, I have to kill another DNC staffer.
Let me also just add this. When you contact support as a member, and maybe I should just wait till we get in the member section, but be nice. Because it's Kyle, and apparently, and like I had no idea how many, but apparently people are being very mean.
What?
Yeah, just be nice. Understand, like, you know, we're not, there's not a whole back room of tech and customer service people. It's just a guy who's doing this out of the goodness of his heart.
Great job, Kyle. Keep up the good work. So, at the Failing Kyle Internet Consortium.
No, we love you. Kyle's amazing. Nice to Kyle.
Oh, my God. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Sad. She said, no, no.